T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
We should be friends.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
Fanuff just pooped his pants.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right. I thought yesterday that, and we had a really good conversation about this around 5, like 5 to 5.30, that Seattle's draft, like we knew all the players by now, pretty much. Maybe not, maybe one or two we didn't, but most.
Right, yep.
But there had to be more going on because some of those choices seemed not great. And with Vegas a few years ago, they had all kinds of other deals going. So that was what I thought last night would mean, and it meant none of that. There was nothing.
Yeah.
So, I was ready. Did we actually bet? Maybe we did.
No, we didn't bet. No, we talked about betting the whatever the point total ends up being. I don't know. We like playoffs. We discussed, like, you thought they were going to do great, and I just thought, like, Vegas. Like, I don't expect that to be duplicated. You know, the success right out of the gate. So I'm sort of, you know, low on them. You know, the division could help them. I mean, they're in a division with maybe 5 teams that are rebuilding. So, I mean, that could be fortunate. They'll be on maybe a more level playing field because of the division. But I thought it would surprise me. And I guess really what I was sort of maybe guessing that NHL GMs would be reluctant to make lots of deals because they felt burned by Vegas. Like that they bent over backwards to try to protect guys and gave up assets that helped Vegas immensely right away, be in the Stanley Cup final in year one. And that's humiliating for other NHL GMs, right? I mean, they've been working years in some cases to build Stanley Cup contending teams. And through some of their actions, Vegas was there in year one. So, you know, I think these guys, there's a lot of pride there. It can be misdirected, but I was kind of guessing that maybe guys, you know, GMs would be reluctant to make those sorts of deals and just sort of expose whoever they got exposed and, like, fine, take a guy. I'm not going to pay double to try to protect somebody that you might want to take.
Yeah, you had this Gostisbehere trade today where the Coyotes got a second and a seventh with the player and gave up nothing. And so, which again, I'll say right now, it should not be called a trade because that is not a trade. That is a gift. The Flyers GM said that Seattle's price to do the same thing was way higher.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Well, maybe Seattle misread the market badly if that's the case, because they didn't do a single one of these. They have spun off one player that they drafted last night already. Tyler Pitlick, right, has been traded to Carolina. But that's not this. That's not, you know, a trade that you make to avoid taking someone. That's just, you know, we drafted a guy that some other team wants, so we'll take whatever we can get for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different. So they didn't do a single thing. And Vegas had, I don't know, as many as 7 maybe deals like that. In their expansion draft, where they either avoided guys or, you know, took contracts, hid money for teams or whatever it was. So yeah, I mean, that's just Seattle either overjudged, you know, overvalued the what they could get in those trades, or just wasn't interested in doing that. I can't imagine. I think it's more that teams just didn't want to pay the price.
Calgary, by the way, Pitlick.
Right.
Not Carolina.
Oh, I said Carolina. Sorry. Thank you. Yeah.
Paul Hamilton with us now on the West Shore Hotline. Paul, on this point, like, were you thinking that there'd be more action last night or even today?
Yeah, I thought there was, but I think Ron Francis definitely missed the boat on this. I think he was looking at what Vegas did and thought, well, I'm going to charge more than what Vegas did. Look at how they built their team, and look at all the teams that were willing to pay those types of prices to do business. Well, yeah, you fooled him once, but I guess you didn't fool him a second time, because, you know, he was asking a lot for those things, and GMs basically said no. You know, we're not, you know, Adams talked about it a little bit today where, yeah, he liked Will Borgen and thought, you know, he was a high character guy. But at the end of the day, he said you have to look at it and be careful not to make an emotional decision and try to do something when maybe you're giving up more assets just to save something, is the way he looked at it. So, right. You know, he wasn't interested. And we don't know. He didn't want to talk about it. We don't know if he offered anything or if he just said, you know what, here's our list. We're not going to do anything to try to
persuade you one way or the other.
Yeah. Here's our list. We're not going to give you any assets. And it seems like the rest of the GMs around the league were also in line with that, too, because they got nothing. They didn't do something.
Yeah. Sorry. So
I think that's a bad job on Francis's part.
Yeah, I'm surprised there wasn't some. Like, I just didn't think there'd be as much, or it would be maybe as lucrative as what Vegas did. But I with everything I just said a minute ago before Paul joined us, I'm still surprised there wasn't a few deals like that to protect certain players, or like Mike's even indicating here that Philly couldn't get Ron Francis to take, like, assets to take Gostisbehere. They make a trade with some other team today. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, and I think it was he just went too high. He was trying to do, and I think he thought he could do that, and he would be able to pull it off. And in the end, he wasn't able to pull it off.
Let's say that for now, right? Because we're not quite to the end. But like last night we thought there would be more. You mentioned, Paul, the press conference today. Some comments on Borgen. I don't know. I turned to you to help me navigate this press conference, and I felt like every single answer I could have written it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. He said right off the bat he wasn't going to talk about trades and that kind of thing, because it's the yearly draft press conference. You have one every year. Usually it's the day of at the hotel. So, you know, that's what he was there for, is to talk about the draft and not to talk about trades or anything else. So he said right up front that he wouldn't be answering questions about that. So it was mostly about the draft. I mean, Borgen was asked about, and you know, Skinner waving his no movement, and a little bit about the new analytics department. But it was basically about the draft, and that's, you know, he just wasn't going to answer questions about trades and that type of thing.
About the draft, press conferences are the best when they won't talk about the players in the draft. Those are really great.
He wasn't going to tell you who he was going to pick. I mean, if he would have been asked, he was never asked specifically about specific players.
No.
Most of the GMs and scouts will. If you ask about a specific player, what do you see in that player? They'll tell you.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, what kind of sense do you get for what tomorrow might be like, Paul? I mean, did you get a general sense from them how they feel about the class, like how much they might value getting a second first-round pick, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's something he said they've talked about a lot. And what he needed to know from his people is, where does it drop off? You know, as far as what pick is it that, okay, Team X is offering you the 8th overall pick or the 9th overall pick. Where's the drop off? Is it worth it? You know, or if you're going to get back in there, mm-hmm. do you have to be in there in the top 8 before you hit the drop off, and then it's not worth it type of thing? So he goes, those are the conversations they've been having of where they are in the draft. What kind of drop off is there? They talked a little bit about, I know, a lot of people think all they do is look at video, and they wanted to be very specific that they did have scouts on the ground in Europe, in the U.S. and Canada, all over the place, that were actually watching live games going on, so they wanted to make sure people knew that, and it isn't just video scouting that they're doing. So they feel they have a pretty good book on players. And what they like about this year's group is that they don't get from past years is, you know, with the COVID, I mean, a lot of players like played on 3-4 different teams in different countries, yeah, going to Europe or wherever they went just to get some hockey in. And they were very interested to see how different players at 18 and 19 years old handled that type of adversity. You know, that it wasn't just, well, we're going to junior, we're going to go play our junior schedule and hopefully get to the Memorial Cup and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, they feel that they maybe got a little bit better read on what kind of people some of these players are, just how they had to handle all the different things that have been thrown at them the past year.
With Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. So, Paul, what's new with the Sabres? We had the press conference, which was the draft. We have seen a couple of trades, talked about Seattle and what they've been up to. Where do you think we're at with the big guys on the Sabre roster? And maybe the Flyers are one team we might have in mind here when pondering whether a trade could be imminent.
Yeah, and I'm with Bulldog. Every time you see a trade, you're wondering, okay, are they clearing out money for the Sabres?
Right.
Are they interested? You know, what are they doing here? How does it – because basically I've been sitting here – I'm writing articles. I've had a couple. I'm in the middle of one, and I already have one in. You know, but other than that, it's been a disappointing afternoon. You know, 1 o'clock, I thought, well, there are probably some trades backed up. We're going to see maybe a bunch of trades happening, and, you know, a few have trickled in, but really nothing. I mean, teams really haven't gotten on it yet, so we'll see what happens in the next 24 to 36 hours as far as that goes. Are they going to wait till tomorrow afternoon, or is it going to be very quiet with a flat cap and everything? I mean, Carolina decides they're not going to re-sign a goaltender who was in line for the Calder Trophy. And, you know, so, and that wasn't all that much money for a goaltender.
Right.
So, you know, they declined to do that. Is it because of the flat cap? Or is it just because they don't want to pay their players what the going rate is? You know, they got a break last year when Aho was it last year or the year before? I don't even remember. Aho was given the offer sheet.
Right.
And it was basically, well, thank you for helping us sign our player because we weren't going to give him.
Right.
We didn't
right.
think we were going to get him for that little money when Montreal did them that favor. So, you know, that's kind of the way Carolina is. But other than that, I mean, we're just basically sitting here wondering, what? All right, when is there going to be action?
Okay, everybody, here comes maybe one of the most radio guy things I've ever said on this show. You know why there's not any movement, Paul? Because everybody is in on, like, the teams that are waiting on Eichel and Reinhardt that are in on it are waiting to make other moves until they find out if they can get Eichel or Reinhardt.
Oh, my.
That's why. That's, the Sabres are the logjam. They are auctioning off the two biggest prizes in the trade market in the league, and nobody's making a move.
This is the Bills should claim the player the Jets just cut so they can know about the Jets playbook. That's what you've done.
I think it's slightly more credible than that.
Oh,
not much.
Okay. Well, it depends on who the player is.
Right.
All right, let's say it's Lawyer Malloy. We'll say it's New England and Lawyer Malloy. Now it's better.
I mean, it's hyperbole. I'm mostly kidding. But for real, like, I know Seth Jones is a big name. Like, the big names, you know, how many teams are in? I heard Elliot today, oh, well, L.A. and Anaheim are back in on Eichel after 2 days ago or a day ago they were out and whatever. Like, if teams are shopping for, if there's five or six teams shopping for Eichel and Reinhardt and Seth Jones, then until those decisions get made, you're not going to trade for the guys below them, probably, if you think you've got a shot at those guys.
And our GMs, are they trying to rattle Adams? You know, are they trying to see, we'll make him think we're not interested for a while. We'll see if that rattles him a little bit. You know, he's a new GM. You know, so is he being tested, too, as they go down to the wire here?
What about Ristolainen, Paul, and today? I said earlier, I think he is somebody of the three that I would most expect the Sabres to take into the season. Now they have the added, if it's added, like this piece with Borgen, and like, okay, well, you have to do better than that in a trade. Maybe they'll end up thinking that that has to wait. I know there's been all kinds of rumors on him, but of the three guys, I would say he's the one I'd most expect to see play for the Sabres again.
I'm going to almost say Eichel might be the one I think might play for the Sabres again. And not because he wants to, and not because they want to. But, I mean, they haven't even gotten to a point yet that, as far as I know, that any team has seen his medical records yet. So, which means they haven't reached a point into a trade where they feel it's time to let them see the medical records. So here we are on July 22nd, and you're hoping to get a very high pick in the draft tomorrow. And we haven't even they haven't even shared medical records? That doesn't really give me a lot of thought process to think that they're going to get something done before the first round of the draft tomorrow. Maybe they will. Maybe in 24 hours things will roll and things will go, and maybe it will happen, and I could be totally wrong, but it doesn't give me a when we haven't even reached a point of letting teams look at the medical records yet, I don't have a lot of hope that in the next 24 hours it's going to get done.
What kind of level of comfort would you say you have with that knowledge? Like, do you feel like you know that, or is that just like it seems that way? You know what I'm asking? Like, I wonder if it's possible that teams do know and it's been kept quiet for whatever reason.
Yeah, no, I've heard that for a while that okay. they will not be sharing that information until they feel that there's a serious offer there that mm-hmm. they might have a chance of taking, and then it's like, okay. And, you know, now it's time to share the medical records. And I don't know why they would shy away from that. I have been around where teams are perfectly willing to share medical information. From what I'm reading, I believe the St. Louis Blues are fine with it, with Tarasenko, you know. But Adams doesn't want to. He wants to keep it close to the vest as far as that goes until, you know, he feels they're to the part of the deal where there's a possibility that it could actually happen. And then I from people I talk to, I get the impression that he'll be ready to let them see the records yet. But again,
okay.
I don't know. I don't see why why it would hurt to let, for example, the New York Rangers see the medical records.
I don't know. Bulldog, to that point earlier, said, well, they probably know some other way, like from Eichel. Eichel wants out, so wouldn't they? They have the same agent, right? Drury and Eichel. So wouldn't they be right. able to find out another way? It was weird for me that was sort of put that way in a tweet. You always want to wonder about what the agenda is there. The writer's conclusion was this means that the Rangers are not close on him, which, like, all right, your head starts to spin at a certain point.
And that's not a writer, quite honestly, that I put a lot of stock in. You know, he is one of the guys that considers himself an insider and is wrong quite a bit. So I always take what he writes with a grain of salt. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm not saying that at all.
Yep.
But I know there have been plenty of times when he has been wrong.
By the way, we're talking about Herman Melville. I'm not sure it was said who the writer was.
I thought you were going to say Herman Munster.
Herman Melville. Paul does not. He always takes Herman Melville with a grain of salt when he writes. No, Larry Brooks. All right, Paul, the schedule comes out tonight. You had that. I found out about that from you.
Yeah, 6 o'clock comes out. So you guys will be right there for it. ESPN's going to run that. I hope it comes out close to 6 o'clock, and we'll get that out there for everybody, and we'll see. And I believe the schedule is going to include an Olympic break, mm-hmm. but they haven't decided if they're going to do that. I think they do have a contingency, but it's time to get the schedule out type of thing, so we're going to get it out with an Olympic break, and we'll deal with it later if we don't do the Olympics.
Did you guys watch last night?
I did. I watched the entire thing, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. That's an hour and a half of my life I'm not getting back.
It was tough. in defense of all of it, I think it's a tough show to do well. You know, I mean, everyone knows all the picks already, and you're drafting, like, largely guys that have barely played in the league or certainly are not household names, and there were a couple of guys that you would know if you follow the sport. And maybe if you follow the sport really closely, you'd know all of them. But, like, still, there's just names. You're like, oh, who is that guy? Who's that guy? So I think it's a tough show to do really well, but it had some very awkward moments.
Yeah, the guy doing the show, first of all, he's not a hockey guy. Second of all, he's like ripping every team. It's like, I don't know if this is what the NHL had in mind with you just ripping on every team that comes up. And, you know, yeah, he ripped on the Sabres, whatever. That stuff doesn't bother me. But what bothered me is it was just like team after team he's ripping on. It's like, okay, right. Really? Not, you know, just stop. The best part of the show, I thought, was, you know, when they had Marshawn Lynch and they gave him Yarncroak to pronounce. That was good.
Yeah.
The Sabres got Lenny Wilkins.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
How about that?
See, they should have had Marshawn do the Sabres pick.
They go to
the Buffalo ties. I mean, that would have been.
He's got a few ties.
Yeah, Lynch even thought, like, if you like rewatch that or listen to it, he even says at one point, "This is the first overall pick." Right? Thought he had something real special. not really, and that doesn't really matter. It's not that kind of draft. I mean, you can tell these guys were really up on it. You know, like somebody could have told Sean Kemp how to say Donskoy's name. Like that might have been helpful, or maybe they did, and he just didn't care. I don't know, but like. Come on.
Marshawn did say, though, if I did say your name wrong, let me know. Yes. We'll get together. And
right. Yes.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, well, that's about the only time I was entertained was when Marshawn was on, and I'm not a real fan of his, but I was entertained by that.
I liked at one moment there was a fan in the front row when they showed a crowd shot that had a shirt that was like the Seattle Kraken there, I said it, colors, and – but it said the writing on the shirt, there was like some sort of like image in the middle of the shirt, but the top said crack and the bottom said house. So it said crack house on the shirt. And I'm like, that looks like an official. I'm scouring the NHL.com Seattle Kraken site to see if they're selling a shirt that says crack house on it. They weren't. So I'm assuming there's some sort of bootleg. There's already Seattle Kraken bootleg t-shirts out there that say crack house on them, by the way.
And I was informed, I did not realize till I watched this show, that they are remodeling, basically gutting the old Supersonics arena. I think they're keeping the roof on it. Somebody tweeted me and let me know that that's basically all they kept, but I had no idea that that's what they were doing.
That would be the Key Arena?
Yeah, I thought they were actually building a new arena, but they're not. They gutted it, but it's the inside of the old Supersonics arena.
Paul, thanks. We may be back in touch.
Hope so.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's the spirit. All right, Paul Hamilton on our Wester Hotline, and his appearance on WGR is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
The NFL with another update on how it's going to be with unvaccinated players, which perhaps could lead to forfeits this year. Players are talking. We'll talk to Sal about the consequences after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldogs, stay tuned. If we get any kind of Saber trade here today or tomorrow, you want to be the first to know. And hopefully we'll be the first to tell you. This is WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.